What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 214. All right, so very excited for my guest today. This is someone who we've never actually met in person, but been following each other through social media, Instagram, that sort of thing for the past couple of years. And now all of a sudden we're in one of the same kind of mastermind coaching groups. And so, I've had the opportunity to witness what he's doing from afar and wanted to be able to bring him to all of you. He is somebody who definitely shares my values, you know, kind of that work ethic, that, you know, that patriot mindset, loves freedom, loves the ability to go out there and, you know, get stuff done. So I think you guys will all really, really love this episode. Also, as we are just at the time of the release of this, a couple of days away from Christmas, look, you missed the boat. If you want meat shipped to your door from Crosso Meats, it's a little late to do that now, but hey, you might have got some gift cards, or maybe you've got, you know, some money coming to you and it's like, I don't need any more socks. I don't really need any more things. Well, might as well use some of them gift cards, some of that money to get yourself some awesome Crosso meat. Go to CrossoMeats.com. We also are fully restocked on our soaps, on the salves, especially for you dudes out there. Get yourself some Simple Man soap. Best stuff you'll ever try. Completely natural. If I use it, then hey, I'm just going to say, if I use it, it must be manly soap, right? I mean, okay, whatever. But it is some good stuff. So go to CrossoMeats.com. Get yourself some meat. Get yourself some soap, salves, any of the good stuff. You can find it there. Again, CrossoMeats.com. All right, everybody. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody? I am super excited for my guest today. This is someone who was born and raised in Kansas and was given the same advice that just about all of us get, which is get good grades, go to college, or learn a trade. But having watched his dad be self-employed most of his life, though, entrepreneurship was deeply embedded in his veins. Back in 2003, he made the $100 investment into a VHS tape. For all the kids out there, this is what we used to watch before DVDs and Netflix. And that allowed him to learn the trade of fixing hail damaged cars and launched Allied Dent Removal. After growing that business and having great success, he then started up babybeardclub.com in 2016, Armored Up Man in 2017. He launched the Home of the Hustle community in 2018, all while building the skills that allowed him to also launch Get Shit Done Coffee Company. His get it done attitude and commitment to spreading the word about how ordinary men and women can make a difference in the world when they put their minds to it is a huge inspiration, as well as his tagline, such as beat the street so hard they send you a bill for the potholes. He's a huge advocate for the values that make this country great, such as hard work, freedom, and the American dream, which makes him someone I admire. I want to welcome in Frank Sell. Again, Frank, thanks for coming on.
Man, that is probably the most professional introduction I've ever heard.
Awesome. Well, hey, I tried to condense all the cool stuff you do down into like a couple of paragraphs. So hopefully we nailed it there.
No, you did excellent, man. I appreciate being here.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of going back and doing some research and everything else for the episode, and then also following you on social and everything else. Just kind of starting from the beginning, when you go back and you first started up, you know, your business, did you always feel like you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Did you feel like you wanted to just kind of be, get a job guy, blue collar? Like, how did you actually kind of get into starting that very first business?
You know, it's really just exactly kind of what you described. You know, my parents growing up back in the 1900s, our parents told us get an education or pick a trade so we can get a good job and work there for 30 or 40 years and get a pension. You know, so we don't hear about that nowadays, retirement or pensions. So basically I learned a trade. I learned how to weld. The last job I had, I started Valentine's Day, 1994. I was employee 5331. And I haven't had that job in 20 years, but starting on 18 years old, they had a 30-year retirement program. And I was happy with that. You know, I was, you know, yay me. I'm going to put my time in, do what I have to do to get to 48 and retire with all the benefits that I was told was, you know, the golden egg. Somewhere along the line, though, they changed the deal on me. The company sold, the new ownership, they came in, and one of the first things they did was slash benefits. And so they required that no matter what, you had to work until you're at least 55. And so it really kind of broke my rose-colored glasses of the dream that I was sold. And so I realized that, speaking frankly, my inner dialogue was, Frank, you either have to accept what they're willing to give you and just quit bitching and put your head down and work, or you have to do something about it. And so I knew some guys that fixed hail damage on cars. We live here in Kansas. We had a lot of storms, a lot of hail damage. And so I knew these guys that fixed hail damage, and I knew that like they weren't as like their hands weren't as smart as mine, I guess we'll say. I'm used to working with my hands. So I thought, and I knew a couple things. It was only working with my hands, and my hands can figure it out. So I found out how to buy $100 VHS tape, like you said. And this was before YouTube and videos and all this. And I would take 2, 3 hours, almost a day, 2, 3 days a week, and force myself to sit down, watch this videotape. I had to watch videotape at home, and then go to my dad's shop and find used hoods. I had some used tools at a homemade light setup and situation. I just taught myself the trade. And in March of 2003, I volunteered for a layoff, and as you said, I just started beating the streets.
That's awesome. I think a lot of our younger audience here doesn't realize what life was like before YouTube. I remember as you're telling that story about the VHS tapes, I remember when I first got into kind of the internet marketing world with Russell Brunson, who I used to work with. We used to have to watch before we could really know what was going on. There was this thing called the Protégé Home Study Course. And it was actually one of the things that we used to sell to people. And I remember like it was like this big packet full of DVDs, and there's like 14 of them. And so you're just like sitting there putting the DVD in, watching it. You couldn't really like skip ahead very easy like you can on YouTube. And you had to like actually kind of commit yourself to learn stuff. Like with the VHS, you know, that's even a little more tedious to skip around or whatever else. So for all of you younger kids out there, be grateful for YouTube because I know I use it all the time now to learn how to do stuff. But it was a little bit of a different world, probably learning how to do that back then. I say back then, it wasn't that long ago, but it was a different world.
And to sit here and think, my dad, he's 82, and just to think of how things have evolved, to know that he's 82 and he has his own Facebook account and he can operate, the computer and email and stuff.
Like
So
when
we
your dad
all.
was learning stuff, he probably, and I know like, my dad or even like my father-in-law, my father-in-law especially is always like, did you read the manual? And it's like, no, am I supposed to read a manual? Like there's YouTube. But like, again, some of the people even before us, they used to sit down with an actual book and have to read through everything to figure it out. I mean, so I guess it could have been worse for us, right?
Oh yeah, totally. It's the Yellow Pages. I mean, nobody's heard of that, nowadays.
I remember when I had a rain gutter business. That was my first business when I was 21. I installed rain gutters on the side of houses. And that was your big advertisement, man. It was the Yellow Pages. You had to go sit down, meet with the guy, get your proofs all. It's crazy looking back how far we've come now. And yeah, I don't even know if the Yellow Pages exist. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it's nothing like it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you get into that business then, and how does it go? Because I know there could be people listening that, maybe they're thinking about starting a business. Maybe they just first started a business. You're obviously young at that point. You're jumping into a new business. What was your mindset going into that? Did and just from the business side, were you 5-year plan and this goal and that goal? I know for me, it was nothing like that. It was literally like, I'm just trying to eat right now. But like, how did you actually approach it when you started that business?
So looking back now after analyzing it and studying some other businesses and stuff, there was kind of like a, I guess like a 5-step process. Like I had a big goal coming from being a welder, making $20 an hour. And this was 20 years ago. You know, $100,000 was a huge goal to me. So that was my goal. That's what I'm going for. And so the next step comes in of who do I talk to? Open the Yellow Pages. And I look for body shops. I look for car dealerships, used, car lots, so I kind of make a list of those. And then I contact them. I find out, who's the decision maker. When do I go see them? What's a good day to see them? And then maybe schedule an appointment to go see them and either acquire the business, or I just keep pestering them, every 2 weeks, just keep showing up, So that's why I post on social media a lot. I say, show up, find friends, want to do cool shit and get shit done. It's just the benefit of showing up. Nowadays, people really appreciate somebody that will just show up.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, kind of the downside of some of the social media and some of the ease that we have is the fact that it is easier now. Like we've built our direct to consumer meat business literally organically on social media. Like we haven't spent a dollar on ads on there, but at the same time, even that way, you're still having to show up, right? Like you're still having to do your content and your posts and everything else. But, again, several years ago, it wasn't, you couldn't just throw a post out there and hope that it goes viral and you could get some views. Like you might have to be out there knocking on doors. Like you said, calling people out of the Yellow Pages. So just going through that experience, was it, were you getting rejected a lot? Were you just kind of naturally falling into it? Or like, what was that initial process of, was there a bunch of rejection or did it take off as fast as you'd hoped?
Oh yeah, there's definitely a lot of rejection, especially like in the car business, man. It's just a lot of smart asses and people, it's just a good old boy world. Just call it like it is a lot of times. So, yeah, I don't know. Probably just growing up with my dad being self-employed. I just took it. I didn't take it personal. So I saw it for what it was, but I also just kind of knew people, and there would be a time if I just kept showing up. So if I got a rejection, hey, no problem, man. That's great. You got somebody to take care of you. If there's ever something I can do for you, let me know. And boom, I show up again 2 weeks. And, when that opportunity happened, man, it was locked down because then I would just keep showing up. I'd do the best, the best job that I could, just being personable. But then also I, from the beginning of that career, I knew that I wasn't the best at what I do. And so I always told myself that just focus on the quality of my work and the money will come. And so eventually, we transitioned from doing a lot of dealership work, which is what would be considered wholesale, to doing retail work, which is what like insurance companies and doing retail hell jobs through body shops or my own retail work where that pays significantly better. So it's just taking that rejection and realizing, not taking it personal, taking it professional, and just keep showing up.
How was it, kind of coming from that blue collar, having a welding job and knowing that you could be really good at your craft? And like you talked about, just doing such good work and the money will come. But along those same lines, and I think that this is where a lot of people can struggle in business is, you have to be, I feel like, my unsolicited advice, I guess, at this point is like people have to be, you have to be great at what you do. No matter what it is, if you're repairing hail damage, if you're selling meat, like to me, that's always the number one thing is like, be really good at what you do. But then after that, you also have to be a great advocate of what you do. And a lot of people are like, I'm not a salesman. I'm not a saleswoman. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sell. I don't, I'm good at the thing. I'm not good at sales and marketing. And so did you find yourself having to learn those skills? Because the way I see it is there's two ways. If you want to be kind of the mad scientist, right? The mad scientist being the person who's behind it, who's fulfilling it. You either have to A, also learn the additional skill set of becoming a salesman or a marketer, or B, you have to hire somebody who is. And I think either one of those things are great. Were you kind of wearing both of those hats? Did you end up getting somebody to sell for you, or did you have to learn that process, or what was that like?
Yeah, so I sold myself. You know, my last name is Sell, S-E-L-L. So it's kind of, it's what we do. But I did, and it's from that book, E-Myth, kind of explained a lot of that stuff, how, especially when you start into a trade business, it comes from somebody that was working for somebody else. And then they say, hey, you know, the boss is making all the money, taking all the vacations, has whatever. And so I want to start my own business. So there's basically kind of like three hats that you have to wear. You have, you know, there's the tradesman. There's the entrepreneur, which is basically like the salesman, person likes getting the business. And then there's the manager. So for me, the selling was pretty easy. You know, cause it's a very niche business, a very specialized business. And so, especially back then, like there wasn't a ton of people that were doing what I do. And so the selling side of it was really, I guess it just kind of came natural to me just to find out and just keep asking kind of like what the pain points are. You know, if is the guy show up, is he do good work? And then just also just having a good personality helped a lot, and being likable. So there's just a lot of things that they're teachable skills, you know, like books of how to win friends, influence people, whatever it is, those skills can be built. But also like you're asking, realizing what you're not good at and hiring that out, like the management side, you know, I have accountants do book work and stuff, because I'm not a details person. I'm just a run through the brick wall and figure it out. And so I need those people, you know, around me to kind of help me just know which wall I need to run into.
Yeah, I get that. We put off like the whole bookkeeping side of our business for a long time. It's like, I don't want to pay for that. What a waste. And then I don't know, probably like a year ago now, we're like, this is so stupid. Me and my wife are sitting here trying to figure out numbers and projections and all this. And it's like, just spend the money, you tight ass. Like go figure out somebody who loves all of this stuff that we hate. So yeah, I think it's super important. And I also think that, you know, for the people out there who, if I don't know, the way that I look at it is that if you want to be a business owner, you have to understand that no one will ever be as big of an advocate for your business as what you are. And, you know, as much as what we hope our friends and family, and I'm sure you've witnessed this, right? That mm-hmm. our friends and family are going to buy from us and they're going to share all of our posts, and they're not. And it's weird. And I'm not even mad about it, but so often it's like strangers who become your biggest fans, people who you never would have thought, you know, that you never met in your entire life, and they become your biggest advocate and your biggest fan. But the only way they're ever going to know about you is if you first become your biggest advocate or your biggest, you know, your biggest kind of evangelizer. And so, you know, for people who are new in business or people who are wanting to start a business, just know that that is part of it. Like you're going to have to do kind of like what Frank said, you're going to have to get good at no's. You're going to have to be able to reach out to people. You're going to have to be able to, you know, kind of accept that rejection and continue moving forward, beating the streets and everything else. So that does kind of lead me into the coffee side of it. So what inspired you to get into the coffee business? Obviously it's a very, very competitive industry. We all love coffee, so it's also a huge industry, but what kind of, you know, obviously it sounds like your business has been doing well. Why branch out into that? What compelled you to do this?
So I guess I'll use the term loosely, maturity. You know, I'm 48 years old, and as I'm growing through life, I realize that even though, so like at some point you kind of have to break down, there's a difference between being a business owner and being self-employed. You know, a business to me will make money when I'm not working. So I realized in the process of growing up that, you know, here I am, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I call myself a leader. But at the end of the day, like if I break my pinky, if I break my hand, I can't work. I can't produce income. So I need to do something to produce income. So that's kind of where we were talking before we got on here, where you and I met, and I met your brother. Apparently I didn't know it was your brother. You know, through a different online communities and groups. And so I started a Facebook page called Home of the Hustle in 2017 and collaborated with some friends where 4 or 5 nights a week we would do live interviews, kind of like we're doing now, a podcast, but we do it Facebook Live because Facebook really pushed live videos at the time. And by collaborating with three or four other people, each of us has 4,000 friends. We'd always share it out to our pages so we could just really expand our audience. And we would just do interviews about stuff that we didn't know about. So whether it was like branding or marketing or e-commerce or just different entrepreneurship things, and started to build this Home of the Hustle Facebook page. And I had, like you said, my first brand that I started was Baby Beard Club, what I call essential beard oil. So the beard oils were formulated for their therapeutic effect, not necessarily for the aroma, which they did smell great. But we had like a nighttime beard oil. I had guys that would message me and say, "Dude, when I put this on, my infant like goes to sleep when I hold it." But also had one that would help you focus and concentrate called Get Shit Done. And so I had some stickers made up for the beard oil. And in the meantime, I was at an in-person networking event over in Wichita, Kansas, and I met some guys that have a company called Nitro Joe's, which is a canned coffee company, and they also had sold like whole beans on their website. But the whole beans isn't their main business, so they didn't have fancy labels or anything, just a plain black bag. So I ordered coffee beans one day, and I ordered a new batch of stickers to give away with the beard oil. And so they're sitting there on my office desk, coffee beans and stickers. I just thought it'd be funny to put a Get Shit Done sticker on a bag of coffee and post it on Facebook. And immediately everybody was like, "Dude, are you selling Get Shit Done coffee? How do I buy that?" And I had like five bags laying there. I put stickers on each bag and sold it to them and called my friends at the coffee place and said, "Hey man, can I sell this stuff as Get Shit Done?" And they're like, "Absolutely, that's what they do, is private label stuff."
Wow.
So there
So
was no thought.
there
Just
was no thought.
just brick walls.
Isn't that funny how it seems like businesses start that way though? Like, I don't know. I always hear people, and I would love to get your thoughts because you've been in business forever. But, I always hear people talk about, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write out my 5-year plan and my KPIs and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, none of it really happens, it seems like. But then, other people who start up a business because they find that need, or, they're out there wandering around, on their construction site. And it's like, it'd be cool if somebody ever built something like this, it would make life easier. And well, I just build it. And then all of a sudden they become like a multimillionaire, right? Like, I mean, have you ever thought about, because again, like I understand business planning, understand all of that, especially as you get bigger, you need more of it. But like, what are your thoughts as far as like having that 5-year plan and all of that stuff? Like, have you ever done that? Has it worked for you? If you have, or what are your thoughts on that?
It's like a couple things in there. Like number one, way like that I've seen to test an idea or a product is to get somebody to hand you money for your shit. That and so that was number one. People in the marketplace are already willing to hand me money for that. So that proved to me that I can put some effort behind it. But yeah, the 5-year plans, no, for me, I've never thought that far ahead. I think you could probably set that target out there, but knowing what I know, like I'm a believer in God, a follower of Christ, and I know that like the thinking that God does is not the thinking that I do. And so I personally don't try to put an expectation on the greatness that's available, because I know it's greater than I can even think. So we were talking about the coffee business. I gave myself the 3 to 5 year plan, I guess, with that. So I gave myself 3 years to understand coffee and what they call CPG, consumer product goods, understand the marketplace, distribution, and all these different things. But as far as a hard target, I haven't done that, because I just there's so much stuff in the media right now that I need to focus on, that I just need to keep moving, just to kind of get a taste, because we came out to Utah here a while back. I don't know if Brock Felt. We were like an investor meetup, and we're talking to people that that have moved, you know, millions of dollars of product. Brock was a part of Muscle Milk and some other stuff. And these guys are telling me, you know, about how they're moving like 50,000 units of product a week, or you know, and I can't even, like, my mind just doesn't even think, yeah, 50,000 units. So I understand it's out there. I don't need to know all those details right now, because where I'm at right now, we have to get the train moving. And like we were talking about before we got on, just understanding some of those things is, and we just have to get momentum before I can really, for me, focus on or have that 5-year goal.
Well, and I think that, like, you know, the one of the things I love what you said is just kind of letting the market tell you, you know, even for us, because when we started our direct to consumer meat business, what, almost 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, either way, we had no intention of ever kind of moving into selling, you know, beef tallow soap and salves. And then we had this opportunity, we'd researched it, looked kind of cool. And so we're like, let's try it out. And so we launched that like a month ago, and we sold out of it immediately. Like within 3 days, I think we sold out of almost all of it. And so again, like going back to some of that strategic planning, that was never even like, it was something to where it's like, okay, cool. Like we have this opportunity to where we can have all of this tallow made into soap, and it actually smells really good and it works. We love it, but you know, we have to throw it out there to see if anybody else will love it. And then after it sold out right away, we're like, oh, okay. Like this is something that could potentially double our business, triple our business. It could end up becoming our main, but you know what I mean? And that's why I think, especially when you're in some of these, you know, smaller types of businesses, you just have to be open to different opportunities. And I think that sometimes I know what can happen to me, and what I've seen other business owners over the years do is you almost like pigeonhole yourself so much because it's like, I've got to do this. And then sometimes if you're like, okay, well, what else? You know, what else goes along with what we sell? You know, like, okay, soaps and salves aren't necessarily what you would think of as a complementary product to meat, yet it is a byproduct of the meat. And so why wouldn't, like right now, all of that tallow just goes to waste. Why wouldn't we use it? And that can be something. And so I don't know, hopefully the people out there listening who are in a business, like I would encourage you to always keep your mind open about some of those different things that could go along with what you're selling. And then just let the market dictate. Like Frank said, you know, if people are willing to give you money for it, great, explore it. And if they're not, then hey, you either got to refine it, or you found out your answer that that's probably not a direction you should go.
Yeah, 100%. I've had a virtual assistant just mock up things like the like K-cups or single serve cups. I took a picture of our K-cup rack at home, sent it to her, and I said, "Hey, just for fun, put Get Shit Done logos in all these K-cups." And I posted it on Facebook, and everybody's like, "Dude, where are you gonna make those? I want them." You
Yeah.
know, so now it's a great seller for us. You know, I just partnered with a collaborated with a local roaster, and you know, now we have our own branded K-Cups.
Nice. Nice. That's big, 'cause I only use Keurigs now. I'm lazy. I don't brew coffee, so yeah,
Yeah.
Keurigs, I go.
Yeah. So we're pretty excited. It's not a rebrand, but just a new process. Because I'm really big. Something I noticed when I started my hail repair business is I wanted everything to be really congruent. All my business cards, my little Astro van, the sign on the shop, everything looked the same, like a big business, because I could see where I wanted to be down the road. And so I just acted as if in that process. And so that's what I've brought into the coffee brand, is though, even though we're selling it out of, you know, a small room in our home, it's what I like to say. It's a multi-dollar business right now, but it's a multi-million-dollar brand. And when my knowledge and my awareness and wisdom catches up to that, then it's on.
Well, and one thing I would love to hear from you as well, because, you know, one of the things that I feel like has been shown to me over and over in life is that, you know, I don't feel like you necessarily get what you deserve. I feel like you get what you're capable of handling. You know, like there's certain things to where when you first start a business, your capacity just isn't at a level to deal with the types of problems you would have if you were having a $100 million business or even a $1 million business. And I think that part of that, and I do see why, you know, there's some people out there like Alex Hormozi, I think, is a good example. You know, when I very first met him, he was struggling. And now, like, I see some of his social content and he's a completely different person than the guy that I was eating breakfast with, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, whenever that was. And now it seems like everything he touches literally like turns to gold. You know, he just business and he's that business. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars now. And I'll never forget me and my wife sitting there having breakfast with him and Layla, him and his wife. And like, they were just down in the dumps and his mindset was completely different than what it is now. And so it makes sense to me as to why he's able to have so much success now, because his capacity with what he can deal with, what he can handle, what he's learned, has allowed him to get to a point now to where he knows and he understands what's going to work and what's not going to work. And I think that that's hard for a lot of us to go through, is to be like, okay, why is my business not more successful? Is it because I don't have the right products? Is it because I don't market well enough and all of those? But I think a lot of it also comes down, and this is something that I truly do believe, is that we also have to be at a point with our own mindset, with our own knowledge, with our own work ethic, all of those things, to where we have the capacity to build that type of a business. Have you noticed that? Like, you know, maybe because you have built a successful business with, you know, with the hail repair, like, do you feel like your capacity is a higher level and now it's helping you maybe expedite the process with the coffee? Do you feel like, how do you feel like mindset kind of ties into all of this?
Oh, 100%. So that goes back to what you were saying, the armored up man concept that I started. And so to me, it's just the armor is an armor of discernment. And so discernment comes from wisdom and applying that wisdom. So one of the things that I fully believe in, and this comes from a book called Dollars Want Me, you know, dollars want to be enjoyed, dollars want to be put to use. There's so many things that dollars want, and we're the controller of that. So there's a phrase in that book that says, God is my supply and my supply is abundant. So kind of what that tells me, that everything is already created. Those dollars are already being spent. There's already customers out there. Everything is created except for the man, me, that knows how to optimize and take advantage of the opportunity. You know, I look at companies like Black Rifle or different companies like that, where it's possible. These were just, you know, some knuckleheads making videos and a guy that was just, you know, totally tuned in on the coffee. And then, you know, when they got together, everything blew up and ignited. So I know it's out there. I know everything already exists except me. So that means I just have to keep networking. I have to keep studying. I have to keep learning and just paying attention. And that's kind of the philosophy behind the show up. Just keep showing up in life, you know, with a good attitude and grateful. I know sometimes it seems like things suck. I've been through some things with divorce and, you know, kids, being a single father. I had full custody of both my kids. So that's something I don't talk about very much. Is when I started the coffee brand, I was recently divorced. I lived on 40 acres, had a 2,500 square foot ranch home. I walked out of there with one bag of clothes and my kids, and moved into a maybe 900 square foot house, 2-bedroom house. I slept in the basement on a mattress. You know, but what I did is I lived my priorities, and that is protect my family and my kids. And that's what I did. So I have no shame in any of that stuff. And so that's when the coffee brand started, because I feel like there was the anchor was released, the slate was cleaned, because there were some things that I was seeing in my life that were in my life that I wasn't seeing. And once I could get clarity and the smoke cleared, then it was like, okay, now here's what your opportunity is. Here's what you're supposed to be doing with your life. So for me, the coffee brand, Frank Sell, I'm selling inspiration. Every can of coffee has the different quotes, like you said, that beat the street so hard to send you a bill for the potholes. Somebody asked me how I got started in business. That's how I explained it. It's like, I don't know, man, I opened Yellow Pages and I started beating the streets. And then do it scared until you do it skilled. That's on every can. A buddy of mine, we were talking about business. He wanted to start another business, but he just said, man, I don't know, man, I'm scared. I said, oh shit, man, do it scared until you do it skilled. I've raced dirt bikes. I've done all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I was scared as hell jumping 100 foot jump, but I did anyway. I kept doing it until I could relax when I was doing it like you're talking about. Now, I'm 48, but I'll still go out and jump 100 foot jump on a dirt bike. And when you're in the air, you're along for the ride. And if you have positioned yourself on the takeoff, dude, you can just relax in your hands. You can breathe. You can look around because you ain't gonna change nothing anyway. So you're just along for the ride. So that's just a little bit of the philosophy behind, my approach with that.
I love it. I love it. So after you went through the divorce and you kind of had to, start back from square one, like what was it that got you through that? Because obviously at that point you're a little older in life. You've got kids, probably felt like you had, I don't know. I would imagine you probably felt like everything's under control and then it's all upside down, leaving the house, all of that stuff. Like, what was your approach? Or I guess maybe more importantly, like what is it that you feel like kind of carried you through something like that?
Oh, a couple things. Knowing that I had done the work, and the other thing was that realizing that I had lived my priorities, and so that not everybody in the unit was living by their word, and what I guess the bill of goods that I was sold in the relationship and so on. So it was a relationship with a narcissist. So these things, as you move forward and educate yourself. So I could have just had self-pity, but I looked at it very frankly. And so everywhere I go, there I am. These things are happening. And it's what's awesome about the internet age nowadays is you can just Google or type in something on YouTube and you'll find 1,000 videos of the process. So, I'm going through this process and I'm just asking myself, okay, what don't I know? What do I know? What was my part in this process? Is this true? These things are being said or these things are being done. It's like in narcissism, I never knew that there's two different types of an overt and a covert. Overt is the one we're all kind of used to, the hey, I'm pretty, look at me kind of thing, or I'm handsome, whatever. That's the superficial kind. But then their covert is somebody that's like really they're highly intelligent, and we've heard this term a lot with the last 3 years, gaslighting, and they'll totally spin your mind around, totally create a situation, to be a victim. So I just look at the fire and the hell that I've been walking through and realize that I had done all the shit that I said I would do. I've become the man that I said I would. And I was just being gaslit. And so when both parties aren't willing to do the work, eventually I said, you know what, something has to change. And so that's when I made a decision, to in the relationship. And within that also, like I said, I had my children were from a previous relationship from that. And so that was just a very, I guess I would say, a dangerous situation in my mind and from everything that I was being told, everything that I knew. So I pretty much fought clear almost to bankruptcy to keep my kids safe from what I knew was a danger. And so since 2013, I've had full custody of my kids. So just trying to live my priorities and doing the work of becoming the best Frank Selb that I can be. And most people, if you say, hey, I want to be the best Derek Wilson on this planet, well, you got it easy, brother. My dad's Frank Selb, my son's Frank Selb, I'm Frank Selb the fourth. So we had like 100 some years of Frank Selbs. And from my dad taking care of the name, which made it easy for me to get into business and do a lot of things that I've done, I realized the value of, maintaining that name and just trying to be the best damn person that you can be.
I love it. So when you talk about living your priorities, like what are your pri like what does that mean? What are your priorities?
So, I mean, obviously my health, I want to be healthy. I'm 48 and just up until recently, I haven't had any kind of prescription medication. I just recently started on TRT and some things to try and optimize me. I felt myself slowing down a little bit. So my health, trying to make sure that I put good things in my body, make sure I get out and move. My mind, making sure that, maybe I have some strong people around me, or if I have, somebody I can bounce things off of and talk to. But then I have a library, and so, like I said, if I have a thought that I have a blind spot or something is painful, something keeps reoccurring in my life, then that means that's something I need to fix. So I'll find a book or I'll find something, to fix my mindset to grow in that. But I think one of the biggest, like, just overarching things is that, through that toxic relationship that brought me to Christ. And so I'm a follower of Christ and his example, and just learning the grace and forgiveness, forgiving myself. I didn't know what I didn't know. But once I do know, then I need to do the work, to not do that stuff again.
That's awesome. No, and I think it is so important to have priorities and to live intentionally, and I just turned 41, and the whole health thing, man, like I get it. Yeah, I feel like I lived a long portion of my life not really worrying a whole lot about health and eating a lot of stuff I shouldn't eat, and probably drinking a little too much here and there over the years. And you get a little older and you start feeling that stuff. It's like, okay, I don't want to live the next 20 years being out of shape and, all of that stuff. So yeah, I think the older you get, you start realizing, okay, I might have to live a little cleaner now.
Well, I say it's just living the principles. That's why I started the coffee business. That's why I invest, I could easily invest that money into the market or crypto or something else, but it's something I'm passionate about. And so, like, in my mindset, one of the most selfish things we can do as people is to keep our story to ourselves. And so that's what the coffee is to me. The coffee is a commodity. It's a way to sell my story of the hustle, the entrepreneurship. Every can has my favorite verse on the label, Galatians 5:1 is for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, do not yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. That was the verse of, like, the men's weekend when I accepted Christ in my life. So that's something that when people are ready to make a change, that you don't have to be a Christ follower or whatever, but when you're ready to make a change, because the Bible says this, and the science will say the same thing. So in the Bible, when it says you're going to change your ways and you're going to turn away from the devil, well, that creates a void. So, okay, so science will tell you the same thing. Nothing in nature can exist in a vacuum, a void. So the Bible says when you do that, the devil's going to come back with seven of his buddies and try to get that spot back even worse. So when you're ready to make that change in your life, just be ready for some battles. But that's why you have to armor up with the wisdom and get new knowledge and be, like you said, be intentional about what goes in your head, and grow yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something I've learned as well as I've gotten older, right? Is that intentionality of what it is you're listening to, what it is that you're watching, what it is that you're consuming, and I know, like, that's something that older people tell kids all the time, but it's something I'm always beating into my kids' head. Like, is what you're watching right now, is that helping you? Is that beneficial to you? And yes, I'm as much of a believer of, having fun and watching stuff that's stupid just for entertainment value. But there's also got to be, the other side of it, which is, does this stuff fill you up or does it drain you? Is the stuff you're listening to, the music you're listening to, the podcast you're consuming, is it helping you or is it hurting you? Does it make you anxious and nervous and sad or whatever? Is it invoking a response? Like, that's one of the reasons why I don't watch the news. Like, I used to love to watch the news. And now it's like I don't watch it because I know what they're doing. When I was younger, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. They were trying to invoke emotion in me and, keep me coming back, just like a drug dealer. And now I can see through that. So now it helps me make better decisions on what I'm consuming and what I'm willing to, whether it's eat or listen to or whatever. It seems like I have just become so much more intentional as the older I've gotten about that. It sounds like you have too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Dude, I'm a sucker for Little Debbie's, but I can't eat those things every day of the week. So you have to be, like you said, really intentional. It just helps make life, I would say easier, but just, it makes you better so that you can handle life easier.
So what is then, and I know we're getting close to the end here, but what is like the lifestyle, I guess, that you look at? For some people, I know that's sitting on a rocking chair or playing golf every day. Other people, it's out there grinding. Like, in an ideal way of living for you, like the lifestyle that you feel like makes you the happiest, the most fulfilled. Like, what do you see that being?
Like honestly, just being at service. And that's kind of so like I guess I can tell a story. I was talking with a mentor one time. We were just talking about this exact subject, and so he asked me, he's like, Frank, what would you do with $1 million? If you just got $1 million right now, what would you do? I was like, oh man, I'd probably buy some gold and some land and some cows. I'm just thinking, revenues and profits and, just thinking of growing it. But he's like, no, man, what would you do for fun? I'm like, I don't know. I don't really think if I'm in fun. I mean, working for me is fun. Going out and riding dirt bikes, people is fun. I was speaking at a deal in Wichita one time, and I had somebody ask me, what's my exit plan? So I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to ask me something that he thought was like a really smart business question in this environment. And he's like, well, what's your exit plan for the business and so on. I was like, dude, I ain't got no exit plan. My only plan is to ride dirt bikes with my kids and kiss my wife under all the stars I can.
Love it. I love it. Well, and I don't know, like, and I've said this before on the podcast before too, but when someone's like, if you had a, if you woke up tomorrow and you had $100 million, like, what would you do? And I, like, my answer is, and me and my wife were just kind of actually having this conversation, when she was on, but it's like, I'd pretty much do the same thing, like, as weird as that sounds, I know for a lot of people, 'cause like, I get it. There's people out there that are struggling and they're working a shitty job and they don't like what they do. And it's like, if I got $10 million in my bank account tomorrow, I'd be out, double barrels, freaking flipping everybody off on my way off the job. It's like, I get it. But there's like, for me, and this is something to where hopefully, people understand, is that you can design your life in a way to where even if you did have $10 million and, dumped into your bank account tomorrow, it really wouldn't change the way you live. And I think that's something that I strive to do. And I think everyone should strive to do, because if you're looking at money being the only reason that you would be able to make a change in your life, you're going to end up, I feel like, living a pretty empty existence. You're going to end up always chasing money. Whereas it's like, chase the lifestyle that you want. That's one of the pillars of this podcast. It's like, chase the lifestyle and the money will come. But if you're just chasing money, then you're not going to know what to do with your life, because all you've ever done is just chase money.
Yeah, totally. I'll just try to live a purposeful life. Figure out, the way I said it is, I've had people ask me about it, and if you don't know what your purpose is, well, then that's your purpose, to discover your purpose, and then step number two is to live it. And so that's what I've tried to do, ever since I've kind of come across that process.
No, I love that. That's great. So I've got one final question for you, before we wrap it up here, but, where can people find you, Frank, if they want to check out more content, if they want to come buy some coffee, if they want to support you, where's the best way they can find you?
So Facebook is Frank Sell Jr., I believe, and then Real Home of the Hustle on Instagram, and homeofthehustle.com is our website.
Awesome. Awesome. So make sure you guys go check out Frank. I know I follow each other on Instagram. Also friends with you, I believe, on Facebook. So at Real Home of the Hustle. It's at Real Home of the Hustle, right? Or is it just,
Correct.
yeah. Okay. I want to make sure of that. Yeah, that's what I thought. So yeah, you guys make sure go follow Frank. He's got some good stuff out there. I don't know if you're the king of the one-liners, but you got to be right up there. You got some great ones. So definitely worth
Yeah, my
following.
friends call them Frankisms.
Frankisms. Yes, I could see that. That's awesome. So last question as we wrap up here, obviously with the Primal King podcast, it was all built around three pillars, you know, liberation, the mindset side of that. We covered that a lot. Lifestyle, just kind of covered that. Lastly is legacy. And so, you know, obviously you're still young, got a lot of time left, you know, God willing on this planet, but whenever that day does come down the road, what do you feel like you want the legacy of Frank Sell Jr. to be?
Oh, part of that is a legacy of what I call it. Just kind of like my kingdom, her castle, our empire. You know, I become the man that could be a king in my domain. You know, so my kingdom, part of that is outside of the walls of the home. You know, I do whatever I have to do. You know, I asked my son one time, if as a parent, you want to find out how you're doing as parenting, ask your kids, you know, what's one thing you've learned from me? And so I asked my son, and my son said, no matter what, Dad, we figure it out. So, you know, being that true king, being the true leader and living the life that I tell myself that I am. So the my kingdom, her castle part is, you know, being my queen's king and being supportive of her. So the castle part really is I don't come in and try to rearrange shit. I just try to be supportive and helpful as much as I can. And she does the same for me when I'm out in the battlefield. I don't have to worry about the castle, and she takes care of stuff for me. And I take care of stuff for her. I provide, you know, she provides also, but together we can do that and build an empire. And that means that, you know, our children and the people around us, the people that we touch, they look at what we're doing and who we are and say, that's somebody that I would want to be.
Love it. I love it. Such good stuff. Well, I know we're technically a little over time here, so I'm going to get you out of here, Frank, but such good stuff, guys. Go out there, follow Frank on Instagram at Real Home of the Hustle. Check out homeofthehustle.com. Go out there, support him, buy some of the coffee, get this thing going. Obviously he's doing well with it, but with all of your support out there, take him to that next level. Thanks again, Frank. I appreciate it.
It's been totally my pleasure. Thanks, Derek.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.